It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Tuesday morning to you. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy again today. If you're wondering where Sandy is, she's taking a little break, you know, and she's extending that March break that a lot of people enjoyed. And Lord willing, she will be back next week. So I'm enjoying sitting in for Sandy. I'm an early riser anyway, and I hope you are too. Hey, if you're on the East Coast this morning, you're already in your car on the way to work if you're not there already. And for a lot of folks in the Central Time Zone, well, you're on your way to work, too. So we're going to keep you company for the next hour. You're not going to want to miss a minute of this. We're going to be talking a lot of folks about open Christian persecution against Christians. And I tell you what, it's happening in so many avenues. It's happening, a lot of it, amongst lawmakers in various jurisdictions across the country. And the attack against Christian values in our school system, at the university level. So all of that ahead. But first, I want to bring you up to date on the so-called caravan. You probably heard about this in the last 24 hours or so. There's a group of 1,000 to 1,200 people from Honduras, which the Mexican government has allowed to pass through their border, their southern border. And they don't have passports and they don't have papers. But the Mexican government is allowing them to pass through Mexico because they are on their way to the U.S. border, about 400 miles now from the U.S. border. And that has the president speaking out, calling on Congress to close the immigration loopholes. And this is what he was saying last evening. As ridiculous as it sounds, the laws of our country do not easily allow us to send those crossing our southern border back where they came from. A whole big waste of procedure must take place. Mexico and Canada have tough immigration laws, whereas ours are an Obama joke. Act, Congress, President Donald Trump wrote in a series of tweets on Monday after a weekend in Florida. I tell you what, the president is exactly right. And a lot of people who have their heads screwed on straight are trying to understand why our Congress is so reluctant to impose the laws that are on the books and to get rid of some of the policies that President Barack Obama put in place that has allowed millions to cross our southern border. As we heard yesterday, they get processed. That's what they call it. They go through Border Patrol, who hands them over to ICE, and then basically a court says, okay, maybe we'll have you back in a couple of years for a deportation hearing. It has become ridiculous. Former White House advisor Sebastian Gorka talked about this last night in an interview on Fox News.
I know this is going to make liberal minds explode, but guess what? No foreign national has a right to come to America. No one does. If we don't have borders, the word America ceases to have meaning. Very simple. The United States is a house. It has a front door. You lock your door when you go to sleep at night. We have a right to control who comes into our house. That's what the president is doing. And I have a word for all these nations that are complicit in undermining our national sovereignty. Donald J. Trump is not a president you want to test.
Yes, and President Trump also tweeting last evening, Honduras, Mexico, and many other countries that the U.S. is very generous to sends many of their people to our country through our weak immigration policies. He says caravans are heading here, must pass tough laws, and build the wall. I'll tell you what the president is saying is resonating with the American people. We were reporting yesterday on our newscast that the latest Rasmussen poll has the president's approval rating. I think it's an all-time high. It's at 50%. Now, you may say, well, 50% of the country still doesn't like him, but he was down much lower than that. And on that same poll, the approval rating for Congress is 15%, 1-5, as opposed to the president's 5-0. So what's that all about? What does that reflect? I think what it reflects is the people of America understand, conservatives in America understand, the president is doing his best to keep his election promises, to build a wall, to bring national security in, to bring jobs, more jobs back to the country that have been imported away. Robbie's doing his best, our producer, Rob Gardner. The president is doing his best, but Congress right now is working against him, in particular the Senate, which is why yesterday President Trump called for the nuclear option. Now, what's he talking about there? He's talking about the nuclear option he's talking about has to deal with a filibuster that basically has given control of the Senate to the Democrats. Well, you say, wait a minute, Republicans? Yeah, Republicans have more in the Senate, barely, 51. But the filibuster requires a vote of 60. So that means 9 Democrats are controlling the fate of this country right now and laws. And the president is frustrated. He's calling on Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, for the nuclear option to get rid of that filibuster, which is what Democrat Harry Reid did when he was heading up the Senate.
Well, you know, that's what they did with the Supreme Court nomination. You know, the only way we have the new Supreme Court pick, Gorsuch, is because they nuked the filibuster on that.
Yep.
So they basically Washington's in a stalemate. Nothing can be done until they get rid of the filibuster.
Yep, it's got to happen. And I think the American people are starting to understand this. You know, for the most part, most of us are not political junkies. So when we hear terms like filibuster, well, what does that mean? That's just something that's going on in Washington. But it's having a tremendous impact. It's not in the Constitution,
no.
As our own Brian Fisher keeps telling us, it's not in the Constitution. It is a policy that can be dumped at any time. The Democrats did it because they wanted to force through their nominees to the court systems, and that's the way that Obama got through hundreds of federal judges, which is having a tremendous impact on our court system right now. And all President Trump is doing is saying, Mitch McConnell, do the same thing.
Right.
So that we can make things happen. And his greatest frustration right now, I think, is not so much with the Democrats. It's with those Republicans who keep trying to basically blow away the president's agenda. And, you know, leaves your head scratching. By the way, just to go back to this caravan that's approaching our southern border, there was an opinion piece in the Washington Examiner, and this is what it says. It's worth noting some interesting math, among other things. If the caravan tried to evade the U.S. Border Patrol but was caught, it would be about equal to the number of illegal entrants caught every day at the southern border. Now stop and think about that, folks. This is 1,000 to 1,200 people, and the point that's being made here, that's a daily occurrence on our southern border because it is so weak, which is why the president says we need the wall. This editorial goes on to say the Border Patrol caught 310,531 in fiscal 2017. In the first 5 months of this fiscal year, and the fiscal year I believe starts like in November or October of last year, the fiscal year, apprehensions are up a bit to about 900 a day. These are people caught trying to sneak into the U.S. between checkpoints. So there you have it. You know, this is what's happening on our southern border. And as we've stated many times before, this is what the Democrats want. They want a bunch of new constituents. This is why they're fighting laws that would ensure that only legal residents, citizens of this country, can vote. But the Democrats are fighting those laws because they want these people who basically come from a socialist background to keep them in power forever.
You know, the Democrats now have prevented the DACA from going through. Mm-hmm. So do you think maybe this could backfire on them? They get all these new voters in And then they realized that the Democrats really aren't for them, that the Republicans were actually the ones behind it. It could backfire on the Democrats in that level.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But at least I was saying yesterday on today's issues, I think every member of Congress who wants to get reelected better put the president out there with them.
Right.
They better have pictures showing with the president, because what the president is trying to do is resonating with people. All right, the president still faces another battle, not only even his fellow Republicans on Capitol Hill, but also in the mainstream media. Yesterday at the White House, they had the annual White House Easter egg roll. Basically, it's not an egg hunt. They just roll these eggs. They have little races. The president was out there with a bunch of kids. The president, the First Lady Melania were out there, a bunch of kids. Jim Acosta of CNN, who basically, I believe, hates President Trump because President Trump has called CNN fake news, hates President Trump. He starts, the president is there with his wife. They're chatting. They're meeting around with these little kids, little boys and girls, and Jim Acosta interrupts everything.
President, what about the DACA kids? Should they worry about what's going to happen to them, sir? Didn't you kill DACA, sir? Didn't you kill DACA?
Yeah, way to go there, Jim Acosta. You got a bunch of little kids around. He's using language like, kill DACA. Didn't you kill DACA, sir? I tell you what, there is a reason why right now CNN ratings are in the dumper. They are absolutely in the dumper. And the reason is everybody understands the professionalism, the journalistic professionalism is totally gone from CNN. For the most part, CBS, NBC, ABC too. I've been in this business long enough now, 40 years plus, to tell you that any kind of discipline amongst these journalists is gone. Everybody knows they loved Barack Obama, absolutely loved Barack Obama. They let him get away with everything. And it really goes to most of the journalists in this country, the vast majority of journalists in the secular media, have the same ideology as Barack Obama. They believe in socialism. They're very anti-Christian. And so this is why they dislike Donald Trump so much.
I think it's really interesting to see Trump's rating so high.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with 90% of negative media coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, they just slam him left and right mm-hmm. all day, every day. You can turn on any of the big mainstream medias, and they're slamming Trump.
Yep.
And his ratings are out the roof.
Yep. Well, they're only hurting themselves
because
after a while, you know, some will say, well, you know, there's Fox News on the other side of things. No, no, no. If you watch Fox News, they will have people from the other side
right.
on their panels. They will invite Democrats to come in. Most of the shows, with the exception of Shepard Smith in the afternoon on Fox, he's so far left, he's a misfit with Fox News. He just hates Donald Trump just like CNN does. But the other shows at least, and this is why Fox is so successful, because people recognize that they don't mock conservatism like the other networks do. And they at least give a voice to conservatives, but you will hear from the left as well. That makes for good programming, folks. When you have that kind of tension that's in there, that's why we like to tell you what the other side is saying. We don't just go against. We play these clips so that you're actually hearing instead of us telling you what the other side is saying, what they're doing. But I think the American public is starting to recognize that what the president is trying to do is abide by the promises he made to the American people in the election campaign. All right, as I said, we're going to be dealing today a lot with what's going on with regards to Christian persecution in this country. Folks, it is erupting on so many fronts. And coming up very shortly, we're going to be talking with Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute. He's going to give us several examples of where this persecution is occurring. Don't want to miss it. We're back. Sandy Rios in the Morning with Fred. We're back right after the break.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard me talking about MediShare, but now I give you my friend Sherry.
Yes, I have loved MediShare. Loved it.
Is that all you have to say? Because this will be a really short
No, I really do love it. I've saved hundreds a month. And overall, I just think it's a better choice of a healthcare program for me. I'm really happy with it. And honestly, normally, I don't even like talking about this stuff.
Nobody does.
But MediShare is different. MediShare members share each other's healthcare bills. We pray for each other. It's a not-for-profit, so we all save money.
True. Tell them about the thing.
What thing?
The online thing.
Oh, yeah, I used that the other night. MediShare members can now access a doctor online 24/7. You can get a prescription for the flu or something just that fast.
So MediShare can save you hundreds a month. You get to be part of the community. You get a huge network of doctors and providers to choose from.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
The final verdict from Jerry. So call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
I would like to give a hearty thumbs up and thank Abraham Hamilton III for his spot-on show called The Hamilton Corner. It is intelligent, well-researched. It's a counterpoint to the mainstream propaganda.
And I just want to give a shout-out to Abraham Hamilton III. Brother, you are a breath of fresh air, especially during the time slot that I listen to you on my way home from work.
Hi, this is Abraham Hamilton III, and it really blows me away to hear how God is using the Hamilton Corner and all the other programs on American Family Radio. He's doing an amazing work here. That's why I'm glad to have an opportunity to ask you to partner with us financially during our three-day share-a-thon starting Tuesday, April 17th.
God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Hamilton, keep on doing what you are doing. It's much appreciated.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. There may be a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Sinclair Broadcast Group owns nearly 200 local television stations controlled by a conservative family. And now they're facing a fierce attack from the mainstream media accusing them of pro-Trump bias. The controversy stems from a promotional video criticizing fake news stories. Deadspin released a video compilation that portrayed Sinclair's anchors as brainwashed hostages, repeating the same words.
Unfortunately, some members of the media.
Some members of the media.
Some members of the media.
Some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias.
But in reality, the promotional videos are a standard industry practice to suggest Sinclair was forcing anchors to promote President Trump's fake news narrative is simply not true. For the mainstream media to suggest otherwise is just another case of fake news. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Well, you know, every day, every week, we're hearing more and more stories about the freedoms of Christians being under attack around the world, and certainly here in the United States, we do story after story. And one of the Christian legal firms that is involved with this, fighting for Christians to maintain their basic freedoms in this country, freedoms to speak, freedoms to talk about their beliefs based on Scripture, is Brad Dacus with the Pacific Justice Institute. And Brad is joining us on the line. Good morning, Brad.
Oh, it's great to be on the program. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go first to DePere, Wisconsin. They have just brought in a sweeping anti-discrimination ordinance there that has churches and even a Christian radio station very upset. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and they should be real upset. This local ordinance is outrageous, and if it's allowed to continue, would be hazardous, extremely dangerous for religious freedom all across the country. What it basically says is that churches, religious institutions, Christian radio stations, that they have to not discriminate based on the sexual lifestyles of their employees, including those with a outside of marriage or same-sex couples, that they can't discriminate in hiring their employees as a part of their ministry, so long as that person says, I say it's a Baptist church, as long as that person says, oh yeah, I'm a Baptist, then they can't discriminate based upon their lifestyle and what they're doing. And that's very, very dangerous for the ability for religious institutions to carry out what they believe. It's like you say someone can believe something, but if they can't live it, then it's really not worth much. And that's the challenge. And we at Pacific Justice have filed a lawsuit challenging this as unconstitutional.
Now, De Pere is a suburb of Green Bay, Wisconsin. You know, it's 24,000 people or so. I mean, what drives these? What is the genesis of these ordinances coming forward? Are they being pressured by certain groups in the community? What, in your experience, what is happening? Because I think, you know, other entities across the country need to be aware of this. It doesn't just pop up one night at a city council meeting.
Right. No, those who are behind it are the radical LGBTQ activists. They apparently have a foothold there. They apparently feel they have the numbers on the city council to do their bidding, and they're utilizing that political strength there locally to try to establish a foothold for this for other city councils in the nation to follow. That's part of their strategy: find a foothold somewhere, get something established, and then get other cities to start pushing that across the United States, which would effectively force religious institutions to close their doors effectively, because they're fined and penalized very severely if they in any way violate this. And, of course, you'll have churches being set up for lawsuits, people getting being employed and then revealing their lifestyle is different than what the church believes. Then they'll be let go, then they'll file a lawsuit, then the church loses their building. It's a major intimidation tactic, and, of course, we see it as a clear violation of the First Amendment's Free Exercise Clause, which is there to protect the rights of religious institutions, not only to believe and to preach what they believe, but also to practice what they believe.
You know, it's kind of interesting, and we've seen these non-discrimination ordinances or anti-discrimination ordinances before, but many times churches, Christian organizations, there's a carve-out for them that it doesn't apply, but it doesn't look like that's the case there in De Pere.
Right, and that's what's so alarming. This was addressed. You know, we addressed this ahead of time with the city council, pointing out that they need to have this solid exemption for religious institutions, and they didn't. They decided no. They explicitly decided not to have that, and their goal and purpose is clear. It's very intolerant. It's filled with hatred towards religious institutions. It's very bigoted, because they explicitly wanted to bully religious institutions to change the way that they believe, and if they don't, they will suffer the consequences. This is not a free society. This isn't a society sensitive to civil rights. It's about bullying, intimidation by the government to shut down religious institutions that don't agree with the agenda and the talking points of those in political power. It's extremely dangerous. We've seen this in other countries in history, what can happen when we allow this to take place. And that's why we at Pacific Justice Institute are representing this Christian radio station and the churches all without charge, and we pledge to do so anywhere in the United States where this representation is needed.
All right, we're talking with Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute. You're based in California. And California is not exempt, unfortunately, from these kinds of political moves. And there's a new bill in the Assembly out there. It's Bill 2943. And I was reading a press release from your organization. It says this bill declares acceptance of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender status and behavior to be a matter of science. And you say from that opening premise, the bill proceeds to subject skeptics to the full weight of the state's anti-fraud and consumer protection regime. What is that all about?
Yeah, well, a little bit of history. California already passed a law declaring that those under the age of 18 could not seek counseling from a licensed counselor when they're struggling with same-sex attraction or gender identity issues, and they want to, they don't want to give in to those. They want to, you know, they don't want to change their gender. They don't want to, they won't, you know, to have those attractions. That made it illegal for them to be able to even get counseling from a licensed counselor anywhere in the state of California. Very draconian. And we challenged that. We got that pushed back for 18 months, and then Ninth Circuit reversed. Supreme Court didn't take it up. But now the state of California is even more emboldened. This law applies to everyone, all licensed counselors, and in terms of counseling, but also applies to people selling books. So if someone's selling a book on therapy, reparative therapy, on how to deal with those feelings so they don't control you for same-sex attraction or gender identity, that's illegal. That's fraud. Also, if you have a conference, say, with people, there are a number of ministries, wonderful ministries out there with ex-gays and ex-transgenders. They want to have a conference on this. That's illegal because, according to the law, what they profess has taken place in their lives is not true. It is so draconian. It forces those people who say, yes, you have these experiences, no, it's a lie, it's impossible, it's scientifically impossible, it's not true, even though their premise goes against the American Psychological Association's manual, which shows fluidity and possibility for change at varying times and varying degrees in a person's life with regard to these issues. So it's very disturbing. It's controlling the dialogue and the messaging, not just in the public schools, but also in the public square in a very alarming way.
You know, we're going to have people listening to this, Brad, and they're going to say, what about my First Amendment rights to express my views on things? And I mean, you say in your press release, this could include the sale of books. Are you saying if there's a book on counseling at Lifeway bookstores, Lifeway could be in trouble, the Christian bookstore?
Right. The language is so clear. It's so explicit in this regard that, yes, and those stores could be sued. Those books could be ordered off the shelves. I mean, what is it? I ask the audience to remind themselves, what does this remind them of historically when we see government taking this kind of a role, pulling books from shelves? There's been countries that have done that before.
Yeah.
And they've, you know, we've had wars because of that and other tyranny. So that is what this is instituting, and it's very dangerous because it's ignoring the real-life testimony and experiences of not just dozens but thousands of individuals who have experienced a life-changing reparative therapy and transformation and empowerment with regard to these issues.
Now, there is actually a legislative hearing on this bill today. What is your knowledge as far as the awareness of churches, of Christian bookstores, Christian counselors? Are they aware this is happening there in California?
We believe that many, or if not most of them, are aware. We at Pacific Justice Institute make a point to send out our information to not only the media and the press, but also to churches and individuals who sign up on our website to receive these updates. Through our Facebook, our likes, we have nearly 200,000 likes on our Facebook alone. So we've been getting out the information, plus some of the media has been handling it. Others have been pushing it out. But they need to hear it loud and clear because the California legislature is heavily dominated, needless to say, by non-believers, and that's an understatement, and heavily dominated by the radical LGBTQ lobby group. So for them to not pass something like this, it's going to take an overwhelming outcry. And so that's why we strongly encourage people listening to this to step up and be concerned. If you know, maybe they're saying, well, I don't live in California. Well, you know what? If it's not stopped in California, it's coming to a state near you. So if you know of someone in California, let them be aware of this. Go to our website, take that article, and forward that out to all the people on your list, your Facebook, so that they know to step up and make the phone calls because it's so important. And if it passes, make no mistake, we at Pacific Justice Institute have pledged to challenge as unconstitutional, but there are no guarantees, and that's of that outcome, and that's why we need to stop it now.
Another area of concern these days, of course, is what's happening in many public schools across the country, and even some charter schools. And I was particularly disturbed to read an article in the Sacramento Bee. And I think our listeners are familiar with this. There was a elementary school teacher, a charter school teacher in California last year, got into trouble with a lot of parents because basically she was promoting transgenderism amongst her 5- and 6-year-old students without the parents knowing. Now, here's the breaking news on this, folks, and I know, Brad, you're aware of this. This kindergarten teacher has just been named Teacher of the Year by the California Charter Schools Association. What she did without the parents' permission is being celebrated and noted by the Charter Schools Association.
Yeah, this should be a red flag to parents who are thinking about putting their children in charter schools. And that, at the very least, it should warn them that those who are in control of the charter schools, the organization where they're representing the charter schools, is clearly warped to the extremist leftist perspective. And this should be an alarm so that when parents put their children in charter school, they need to really investigate that charter school. Because if this association representing charter schools is willing to celebrate and recognize this Teacher of the Year, the teacher that we believe is the last one that should probably get it, and that she irresponsibly, without any parental notice, no parental consent, to a group of kindergartners, read a book promoting the changing of a gender, of a child changing from one gender to another, and then had the child leave the classroom and then come back dressed as a girl, boy dressed as a girl, and without any notice of parents, any opportunity for opt-out, that should be a red flag as to who is in control of this the charter school organization and the direction that charter schools may be going in. Even if yours is a good charter school, you need to be aware this is going to make parental trust all the more difficult for those charter schools because of the position taken by this apparently a very radical leftist association of charter schools. And one more point I want to mention, Fred, is that if parents have their children either in a charter school or a public school, we at Pacific Justice Institute strongly recommend them to go to our website and download opt-out forms to put school districts on notice that they want their child opted out of any of these kind of presentations and programs. They're becoming very widespread in California and other states, so I strongly encourage them to do that, and it applies to all 50 states at pji.org, pji.org. It's abbreviated for PacificJusticeInstitute.org.
Brad, you know, you during this interview, you've mentioned the word awareness so many times. And if nothing else, I hope people go away from this interview understanding they must be made aware of what their city councils are doing with regards to ordinances, what's happening at the legislative level, and also obviously what's happening in our schools. And our freedoms are slowly being eroded, and we thank God for organizations like yours, Brad, Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Fred. Always a pleasure.
Well, I hope, you know, what Brad has just been talking about is educational for you folks. I mean, going through that piece of legislation that Brad was just talking about, dealing with a law they're considering in California, there's actually a hearing on it today that would outlaw not just the counseling of, say, someone, a Christian, and they have a parishioner come to them that's struggling with same-sex attraction, but even books on that. And you heard him made reference to there have been points in history where there have been books taken away, books burnings. Of course, he's talking about Nazi Germany. Folks, are you aware? And that's the question this morning, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Are you aware? And what steps can you take to make yourself aware? And are you concerned that fellow Christians are not doing enough to speak out now? Because what happens, it doesn't matter whether it's Wisconsin or California, it can happen in your backyard too. 888-589-8840. We'll go to our phones when we come back. I'll also tell you about an event coming up at George Washington University in the next couple of days, it's going to blow your mind along this same thing. 888-589-8840. We'll go to you when we come back here at Sandy Rios in the Morning with Fred. We're back right after the break.
He rose and struck down the Philistines, until his hand was weary and his hand clung to the sword. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Orange County, California Sheriff Sandra Hutchins said in a press release that Senate Bill 54, California's new sanctuary law, hinders collaborative efforts to remove criminals from the community, and she instructed her staff to respond promptly to requests from ICE. She explained further that SB 54 makes local law enforcement's job more difficult and requires bureaucratic processes that could allow dangerous individuals to fall through the cracks of our criminal justice system. Not everyone in California is drinking the crazy Kool-Aid.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
Do you have anything difficult in your life? Something that's facing you right now that is just too difficult for you? It may be impossible for you. It's not impossible for Him. And He wants to do a miracle in your life today.
Find real hope when you discover the power of Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
You wish you could stop thinking about it, but you can't. It never quite leaves your thoughts. Even in the joyful moments, it's there. The sadness, shame, and sorrow. You know you can't go on like this, so don't. Phone the International Helpline for Abortion Recovery at 866-482-LIFE. Your call is confidential, and you'll be talking with someone who's already been where you are and found the way out. 866-482-LIFE.
This is Dan Celia from Financial Issues.
You know, we look at the volatility in the markets right now, or the lack of anything in the markets, and this is a great time to take a pause, rethink all of our portfolio, look at our asset allocation model. Are we following the asset allocation model as it should be? Are we overweighted one place or another? You know, I've been an advocate for biblically responsible investing for many, many years. I've been an advocate for charitable gift annuity because I'm an advocate for permanent income. Call the AFA Foundation to start talking about it.
A knowledgeable AFA Foundation representative will gladly explain the nuances of charitable gift annuities and answer your questions. Find out about charitable gift annuities when you call 800-326-4543, extension 345. 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or by visiting afafoundation.net.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Borders are important symbols of national sovereignty. They're also essential to national security. Look at Europe, where millions of migrants have taken advantage of a lack of such frontiers to inundate and fundamentally transform country after country. Then there's Israel's border with the Gaza Strip. The terrorist group that has run Gaza into the ground is now putting thousands of civilians in harm's way for the purpose of stigmatizing and ultimately assaulting Israel and her security fences over and under which Hamas has repeatedly attacked the Jewish state. Meanwhile, a caravan of illegal immigrants has been heading through Mexico to breach its porous border with the United States. President Trump has rightly warned the Mexican government not to be party to such an assault on our sovereignty. If these don't make it through, though, others will. Wouldn't you like to have a wall now? This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Wide range of topics we've been talking about this morning. I just heard Frank Gaffney there talking about the need for a wall, giving you an update on that so-called caravan that's moving through Mexico right now. 1,000 to 1,200 people, the Mexican government, helping them on their way to our southern border. We talked about the president just facing an uphill battle from even his fellow Republicans, particularly in the Senate, to build that wall to secure us. We played a clip of Sebastian Gorka, the former White House advisor, a few moments ago, saying, hey, do you have a front door on your house, folks? Do you keep it locked at night?
This is what we're talking about. Every nation has a doorway. This is defines nationhood. Borders define nationhood. And the ridiculousness of the fact that we now have Democrats and some Republicans and, of course, the mainstream media fighting the president on this issue of just trying to secure our southern border. And we also have been talking about the mounting persecution against Christianity in this country. We had a chat with Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute. He gave us several examples of areas across the country that are either passing laws, have passed laws, or are in the midst of passing laws aimed at shutting down the Christian voice in this country. And just before we go to our phones, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, I wanted to tell you about an event coming up at George Washington University on Thursday of this week. George Washington University will host a training session for students and faculty that teaches that Christians, especially white ones, quote, receive unmerited perks from institutions and systems all across our country. So now we're privileged. The April 5th Diversity Workshop, and this is a press release from the College Fix. The April 5th Diversity Workshop is titled Christian Privilege, But Our Founding Fathers Were All Christian, Right? Question mark, exclamation mark. Hosted by the university's Multicultural Student Services Center, the event will teach that Christians enjoy a privileged, easier life than their non-Christian counterparts, and that Christians possess, quote, built-in advantages today. The workshop will also discuss how Christians receive unmerited perks from institutions and systems all across the country. The Christian Privilege Workshop is one of 15 free training opportunities offered through the center to, quote, equip students and staff with the necessary skills to promote diversity and inclusion. Other workshops offered through the center focus on heterosexual privilege, cisgender privilege, able-bodied privilege, and socioeconomic privilege. So there you have it. Workshop at George Washington University coming up this week, talking about Christian privilege, in particular white Christian privilege. I don't know what they're talking about. They're saying at our institutions, universities. Rob, I had to work to get a C when I was going to university.
Yeah.
And they didn't ask me whether I was a Christian or not. They just said, Fred, you got to work like everybody else to get the occasional B. I was really happy with that.
You do the work, you get the grade. You don't do the work, you don't get the grade.
And by the way, I had to work for any scholarships I received. And what the scholarships didn't cover, I had to work in the summertime. So I'm really puzzled by this idea that there is Christian privilege in this country.
Just more of a fog, smoke screen over reality.
Unbelievable. Anyway, we're going to go to our phones. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go first to North Carolina this morning. And Eric, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
You know, the scripture says that truth is fallen in the streets and equity cannot enter. And the street today is literally physical public places where we see all this, the angry demonstrations and rioting going on. It also includes the airwaves and the media. But unless the Bible-believing people of the nation, unless they can get up off their couches and hit the street, mm-hmm. we're done.
Yeah.
There has to be an opposition. You know, Frederick Douglass, one of the founders and the fathers of the Republican Party, a black former slave, said this. He said, power yields nothing without a struggle. It never has, and it never will. There must be a struggle, be it physical or verbal, but there must be a struggle. And if the Christians are too lazy to engage themselves and take the risk of getting hit in the head with a rock, we can't survive. There has to be a national uprising of righteous indignation.
Yeah. Eric, appreciate your call very much, and Eric is exactly right. And, you know, it many times it just starts with taking the time to speak out against this. One of the problems that's evolved, even amongst evangelicals in this country, is kind of a passiveness that how dare you? You know, we're just going to preach the gospel. Hey, listen, the gospel is ultimately the most important thing. But that doesn't mean that you become disengaged from the process. Because for this reason, here's an example. Christian, let's say, well, I'm just going to let society devolve, and I'm on my way to heaven, and that's all that matters. Well, what about your kids and what they are being exposed to or could be exposed to at your schools, what they're watching on TV? You know, this ministry, American Family Association, started out really speaking out about what was on television many years ago when the ministry started. And I'm not sure whether Brother Don even understood then that what we were seeing on TV was just the tip of the iceberg, because it was going to be translated to our legislators bringing laws in that persecute Christianity. And that's what we're talking about today. We have a responsibility, the Bible says, to be salt and light. In order to be salt, there's a sting in salt, and that means you have to be heard. And to be heard, you have to speak up. It's pretty logical, folks. All right, to Oklahoma and Kenny. Kenny, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Good morning, Fred. Thank you for your program. I believe you're addressing the most important issue in America today concerning immorality, and that is the children in our public schools, 4, 5, 6 years old on up, being indoctrinated with this perversion of homosexuality and transgenderism. To me, it's the most grievous sin and evil in the United States of America. I know that Donald Trump supposedly overturned Barack Obama's perverted bathroom bill, but I'm really wondering if the National Education Association and our states and our local schools are just ignoring that and putting this perversion into the curriculum, like you told us about happening in California. And Fred, what I'd really like to know, you may not know the answer, and I know Brad addressed it somewhat, how many public schools are indoctrinating our 4, 5, 6, and 7-year-olds on up with this perversion? If you can find out, Fred, let us know how many schools are doing this, and thank you very much for your program.
All right, Kenny, appreciate it. Well, I can't give you an exact number, but just in an anecdotal way, the stories that we have been dealing with over the last 5 to 10 years lead me to believe that it's far more widespread. It has moved well beyond the borders of California, I can tell you that. We've done stories of what's happening in New York, and it's happening in the middle of the country also, folks. Let's not be naive about that. Sometimes if you're living in what's called the so-called Bible Belt, you think that there is a hedge of protection around the... That's not true. It's happening also in what has been regarded, as I say, the Bible Belt. Because we're living in a generation right now that is largely unchurched. And by that, there's no exposure to Christianity. Even in Bible Belt states, there's a growing number of people who have never been a member of a church, folks. There is no Christian influence whatsoever. So we're living in that kind of generation right now, and so the susceptibility to this kind of teaching is going up because they have nothing to judge it by. If you don't have knowledge of Scripture, the authority of Scripture, then what are you going to juxtapose these arguments that are coming from the schools and school boards? And school boards are running. This is why we have organizations like Brad Dacus, Pacific Justice Institute, we have Liberty Council, Alliance Defending Freedom. They are out there because, sadly, many times parents just learn about these things when little Johnny or Jane comes home, and they either have pictures that they have been given or they manage to tell mom and dad, this is what I was taught at school today. And sometimes the outrage comes a little too late. All right, let's go to Texas. Hunter on the line. Hunter, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Jackson. I was telling your call screener, I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I attended college at Hardin-Simmons in Abilene, Texas. They also have a McMurray College, which is Methodist, and Church of Christ, Abilene Christian. Abilene Christian made an editorial in the Dallas Morning News the other day. They apparently have some employees or student employees that are homosexual, and they said, please maintain your Christian testimony, which I'm assuming means to stay celibate and no overt dating, what have you. The Dallas Morning News, and I quote, or paraphrasing rather, I don't have it in front of me, well, the culture is changing. But, you know, and see, they don't get it. They think that the Jesus that they imagine is the one that I like that Robert Jeffress describes. Jesus is in a white robe and sandals wearing hippie bees, and he goes around Judea picking daisies and eating bird seed. That's not, well, you and I know better.
Yes, sir. Listen, Hunter, thank you so much for that. Yeah, you and I know better. And the Bible also teaches us, you know, the culture may be changing. And you hear that all the time, folks. The culture is changing. Have to adjust to the culture. God does not change. I'm glad he doesn't. Imagine if God moved with the culture. I mean, it's a mess enough now. But here's what's happening. The culture is in rebellion to God. That's what it is. It's another sign of the end times, folks. Remember, as we're taught in Genesis, days of Noah, everybody was doing what was right in what? Their own eyes. And that's where we are today. All right, I think we have time for one more call, Rob, so let's go to Julio. Julio, good morning, sir. Julio's in Texas. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up? Good morning. Hey, I appreciate you taking my phone call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one can tell me that there ain't no Christian persecution going on nowadays, especially with all that stuff in California. If my kid were to come home telling me what he was wearing, oh, I'm tearing somebody's hide. Over here in Lindale, Texas, there's a museum, and they have a dedicated area to all the aborted babies. Anyways, I guess someone went up there complaining, some liberal, some Democrat, somebody. I don't know who it was, but now these people, the museum that runs everything, they had to put a fence around it. And it's unfortunate because it's just like, I enjoyed seeing that. You know, it makes me feel that, you know, there are more Christians out there than just me, you know. And I feel like a bunch of Christians are being pushovers, man. Come on, I'm so close to the verge of going Moses on people. You know what I'm saying? So I really appreciate you taking my phone call.
All right, Julio, we appreciate that. Yeah, you know, Julio makes a fascinating point. I've seen this before. Memorials and various churches have offered that. They'll put crosses out on their lawns to represent the number of babies being killed. You know why the left and the unsaved world, they want to get rid of those memorials? Because it stings their consciences. Because they're faced with a symbol of what's happening in abortion clinics around this country. Babies are being murdered. And that stings their consciences, so they want it removed, Rob.
The greatest sin our country is purveying is abortion.
Amen.
We're paying for it.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's all part of the culture. Yeah, the culture is changing, folks, and it's becoming more hostile to Christian values and to Christianity. You need to be aware of that, and yes, you need to be speaking out. Yes, speak out in love, but speak out. The problem is Christians many times are just sitting on the side and allowing this to happen. We need to speak up. We need to be that salt and light. Hey, it's been a privilege, a blessing to be with you again this morning. And it's just the beginning of the day here at American Family Radio. Much more great programming ahead on AFR Talk and throughout the day. We'll see you again real soon. Fred Jackson signing off for Sandy Rios in the morning. Have yourself a blessed day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.